Today, I'm happy to bring to you another edition of The More Abundant Life, a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages by Pastor Wendley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for The More Abundant Life. And today, as we have done so many times before, we have divided the title of today's message into two parts. Because of the time constraint we have here at The More Abundant Life, we can't always present the whole message, and some of them are so important that we feel we need to let you hear all of it. So today, we're going to hear part one of the title, One Thing Better Than Wisdom, a message that was presented by Pastor Phipps to the Seabrook Seventh-day Adventist Church. It will be message number 178, or program number 178 in our series, One Thing Better Than Wisdom, part one. As we prepare for the message for today, we're going to hear special music entitled Eternal Life by Wendley Phipps.
Day in and day out, working hard and learning how to play the ruthless game. All the while your heart becomes so cold. You're selling out your soul, reaching for a temporary goal. But when you reach that final sunset and you look into His eyes, will the feeling in your heart be joy, or will it be your last goodbye? It would be the greatest tragedy if you never realized that all you own cannot compare to eternity. Of money, but there's emptiness inside, spending all your time trying to own the very best, as if somehow the rest will fall. But when you reach that final sunset and you look into His eyes, will the tears you shed be tears of joy, or will it be your last goodbye? It would be the greatest tragedy if you never compare. And when you reach that final sunset and the tears well in your eyes, will the feeling in your heart be joy, or will it be your last goodbye? It would be the greatest tragedy if you never realized that all you own cannot compare to eternal life.
Message today. Proverbs 3, 5, 6, 7. Trust in the Lord. You ought to know it by heart. Say it with me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And of course, the seventh verse, be not wise in thine own eyes. Be not what? Wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. My message this morning, one thing better than wisdom. One thing better than wisdom. These wonderful poetic words of Solomon were born not from an easy chair of sacred inspiration. Those words that we have just read came from Solomon's experience with real life. They are words of warning from the wisest man who has ever lived. And they are words that come to us after he had made some of the worst errors and mistakes a human being could make. They are words that seem tailored for young people, but their admonitions are for people of all ages. As the prophet David felt the hand of death drawing near, he crowned his 20-year-old son Solomon and charged him to be faithful to the Lord. Solomon was well prepared for his role as head of the Jewish nation. David's faithful grooming of Solomon had made him into a mighty statesman, a highly esteemed leader of men. As Solomon ascended the throne, he consecrated himself by offering sacrifices to God in the presence of the priest and people. But one night, as Solomon lay down to sleep on his couch, thinking of the burdens of royalty, thinking of the many duties of the crown, he drifted off to sleep. The God of heaven broke through his slumber and called his name Solomon, Jedidiah, my son beloved. Whatever you ask for this night, I shall give thee. There in the shadows of a tranquil evening, the supreme monarch of the universe stood by the side of the young king, saying, Solomon, ask me for anything. Whatever it is, it will be given unto thee. Brothers and sisters, suppose God stood by your side this day and asked of you what he asked of Solomon. Anything you want. What would you ask for? By the end of this message, whatever you are thinking of right now, something tells me you might change your mind. At first glance, it may seem like an unrealistic, unusual proposition from the Lord. Ask me for anything and it's yours. But I want you to know that this offer from God is a standing offer to all Christians. In all time and for all ages. It is a standing covenant God has made with believers. You'll find it in John 16, verse 23. It says, and in that day, said Jesus, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Same promise, same offer. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. Amen. Solomon's response to God's most generous proposition was, Lord, you've shown unto my father David great mercy. You blessed him with a son to sit on his throne. Lord, you've called me to speak words that I know not how to express. When I consider the responsibility you've laid upon me as king, I feel like a little child. I know not how to go out or how to come in. Lord, so that I might serve you with faithfulness, give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked for riches like most of us would. In this who wants to be a millionaire age. I heard somebody say the other day, just never forget, nobody got to be a millionaire by watching other people become millionaires. God said, because you didn't ask for riches, you didn't ask for wealth or honor, nor did you ask me to do your enemies in. Some of us would ask for that. You're sitting there like you don't know what I'm talking about. Some of you would like the Lord to finally deal with your enemies. The Bible says, God said, Solomon, I will grant unto you wisdom and knowledge, and I will give you also riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have like you have. Woo! The Bible says the words that Solomon spoke pleased the Lord. And Solomon became known as the wisest man who had ever lived. His fame went to all the nations round about him. Solomon constantly had royal visitors from all over the globe. The Queen of Sheba, that beautiful queen, came to see him and sat at his feet. No wonder Solomon said, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. No wonder Solomon said, happy is the man who gains understanding, for wisdom is more profitable than silver or gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you can desire can be compared to it. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are paths of peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth and lays hold of wisdom. Amen. Yes, said Solomon, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. And Solomon became the most successful king in Israel's history. He was the builder of the temple. He was the first king to trade with other nations. He became the world's most successful businessman. He was richer than Bill Gates will ever be. He was the world's most successful entrepreneur. He was a shrewd financier, a ruler of a global commercial empire. Solomon's ships went as far as Spain to bring back silver, across the Mediterranean to bring back cloth and cedar. His court reached a standard of luxury that has never been since seen in Israel's history. And like his father David before him, the Bible says in everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. But after a while, something began to go wrong in Solomon's life. Solomon began to make a fundamental, fatal mistake in his Christian life. You see, Solomon began to trust more in his gift than he did in the God who had given the gift. Solomon began to have too much confidence in his own wisdom. And as the years passed, he trusted less and less in the wisdom of God. You see, Solomon forgot that there is one thing better than wisdom. And it is dependence upon the wisdom of God. Because of his wisdom, Solomon no longer depended upon God for everything. After all, he thought, had God not made me the wisest man on earth? Surely the wisest man on earth could go a couple of weeks on his own wisdom. Surely the wisest man on earth could run for a few days tanked up on his own smarts. Surely the wisest man on earth could go a few days being guided by his own intellect. Why would God make me the wisest man on earth if not so that I should demonstrate how wonderful it is to be guided by the light of your own insight? Someone once said that man is wise only while in search of wisdom. When he imagines he has attained it, he is a fool. An eminent rabbi once said, wisdom is like fire. A little bit enlightens the soul. Too much wisdom, you might get burned. Well, Solomon got burned. Solomon began to believe his own press. He began to trust wholly in his own wisdom. He began to lean too heavily on his own mind, his own thinking. His heart was unable to withstand the constant flattery and adulation showered upon him day after day about his own wisdom. You can imagine the people walking around. You know, people have a way of telling you what they think you want to hear. Especially when they want to impress you. So you can imagine everybody that walked by Solomon. Oh, Solomon, you're so wise. You're so intelligent. You're so astute. Oh, King, you're so clever. Oh, your intellect is without peer. Oh, King, your mind is without equal. Solomon sought security and happiness in his intellectual capabilities. And there are some people who are so impressed with titles after people's names. You know, when I heard a brother say they rearranged the titles after their names to spell God. Mercy. Trying to impress you. Solomon, the world's wisest man, began to be controlled by his own bankrupt reasoning. Mercy. He began to be guided by his own futile logic. For without God, the wisdom of men is futile and fruitless. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 19, if you have your Bibles, turn there. For it is written, God says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Without dependence upon God, Solomon, in his own wisdom, was running on worldly wisdom. Amen. It wasn't heavenly wisdom. Without dependence upon God's wisdom, Solomon mistook license for liberty. Before long, Solomon, the wisest man in the world, became corrupt. Oh, are you listening to me today? Controlled by his passion and his appetite. You see, our minds in our wisdom, worldly wisdom, when you are cut off from God's wisdom, all you have is worldly wisdom. And with worldly wisdom, you will justify anything. In worldly wisdom, anything makes sense. In worldly wisdom, you can make nonsense make sense. Are you listening to me today? You can see light in any course of action that brings you pleasure.
That's right.
You will say to yourself, God would not have made me with these feelings if he didn't want me to express them. Huh? You say foolish things when you're running on worldly wisdom. If I try this out tonight, at least I'll know why I need to stay away from it. If I go out with her tonight, then I'll really know why I don't have to bother with her anymore. Worldly wisdom. Our wisdom is so corrupt, we think that in our human wisdom, we think that there is virtue in running from temptation and still leaving a forwarding address. You missed that this morning. Worldly wisdom. In our human wisdom, we say things like, God made feelings, so if it feels good, do it. We say things like, how could it be wrong when it feels so right? That's worldly wisdom. Solomon became so wise as in his own eyes. He no longer depended upon God to order his steps and influence his decisions. Friends, I'm still learning. Any part of your life that is orchestrated by your own wisdom and intellect is wasted. any year of your life, any day of your life that is orchestrated by your own wisdom is wasted. If you marry in your own wisdom, it'll set you back for decades. Believe me, in life it is, I heard an old rabbi say, in life it is better to ask God the way 10 times than to take the wrong road one time. Now, isn't that the truth? I'm still learning that when you walk with God, you may not get where you're going, but you'll always get where he's going. And as long as you're where God wants you to be, you couldn't be in a better place. Solomon, in his own wisdom, gave up dependence upon God for self-sufficiency, for pride, for self-exaltation. Solomon's own wisdom led to his downfall. The gift he asked God for became the foundation of his ruin. The very blessing he asked God for became the source and foundation of his ruin. After a bright morning of great promise, Solomon's life declined into the abyss of a dark night of sin. Solomon gave up God's wisdom for the wisdom of this world. You see, the wisdom of the world says, and you got to forgive me, I came across a CD the other day. I don't even know the artist's name, but I was walking by the store, see this CD, and it's Three Thugs on the front of it. Mercy. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about, but they were. But I saw worldly wisdom. I think, I don't know if I'm right. Maybe some of the young people, I hope you don't know, but some of you might know. I think it said something about money, power, and respect. That was the title of this CD. Worldly wisdom makes gods of money, power, and respect. Worldly wisdom says it really doesn't matter how you get it as long as you get money, power, and respect. The servant of the Lord once said that the spirit of intense worldliness that now exists, the disposition to acknowledge no higher claim than that of self-gratification, constitutes one of the signs of the last days. People just wanting to make themselves feel good, that's one of the signs of the last days. Men and women who are otherwise sensible and conscientious close their ears to counsel. And that's nothing but the devil working. Solomon became a slave to worldly wisdom. No wonder 1 Corinthians 3:18 says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in the world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. And verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is what? Foolishness. The wisdom of this world is what? Foolishness. With God. Look around you. You'll see that even people in the church are living more and more by the light of worldly wisdom. We've conformed to the standards of this world. We court like the world courts. We romance like the world romances. We dance to its music. We go to their shows. We delight in their atmosphere. We revel in their fellowship. Today, too many of us, like Solomon, are keeping God out of the intimate affairs of the heart. Let me tell you, when you are about to, please help me, Jesus. When you are about to look for a life's partner, you better hope for heavenly wisdom. Because people are not what they seem. People are not what they seem. They're going to try their best to give you the best front. That's right. The whole time of the courtship. Yeah, yeah. But once they say I do, you will want to know, what is this I've gotten into? Too often, because of worldly wisdom, we choose our companions by sensuality and not spirituality. Right. Help me, Jesus. Yeah. This is an age where happiness is measured by arousal and titillation. not by righteousness and the fear of God. This is an age where cravings and sensations are king. Ease and luxury are the handmaidens. This is an age when happiness is dependent on the caress of the sumptuous. Who knowing the judgment of God, you got to remember this text. It always disturbs me when I read it. Romans 1:32. If you've got your Bible, turn it to it. It disturbs me every time I read it because I look at my own life. It is a mirror. It is a warning from God. God says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things, murder, backbiting, all the things that are before it, that they are what? Worthy of death. But not only those who do the same, but those who have pleasure in them that do them. That disturbs me because that wipes out 90% of what's on television.
That's right. Truth anyhow. Said preacher.
If you find your pleasure in watching murder, if you find your pleasure in watching adultery, God says not only those who do those things, but those who find their pleasure in them that do those things. Brothers and sisters, Solomon, following his own wisdom, was seeking his happiness in the same things that young people are doing today. He was looking after money, power, and respect. Solomon wanted respect from all the nations around him. God told Solomon, God says to preach this morning. God told Solomon not to bring many horses to Israel, lest Israel trust in horses and chariots. Solomon brought all the Persian and Arabian horses to Israel that he could find, just to impress the nations around him. And Solomon began a love affair with good wine. The more he drank, the more it clouded his judgment. Solomon became a slave of passion and pride. Solomon became so wise in his own eyes, you couldn't teach him anything. Do you know some people like that? Someone said excessive confidence will throw you off your guard. Some of us know people who don't have half the wisdom of Solomon, yet they walk around like they know everything. You know some people like that? I came across a fictional story, but it makes the point about people who you just can't teach them anything. This man walked up to a brother and he said, hey man, what you doing? He was pounding on some wood. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm building a rocket. He said, you're building a rocket? He said, yeah. He said, out of wood? He said, yes. Some folks, you just can't teach them anything. He said, what you doing? Where are you going? He said, I'm going to the sun. He said, you going to the sun with a rocket made out of wood? He said, man, you get halfway up there, you're going to burn up. The brother who you couldn't teach him anything, he said, man, get out of my face. He said, listen, let me tell you, you think I'm going there in the day? Some people are so wise in their own eyes, you can't teach them anything.
Well, that brings us to the end of our message for today. Part one of the title, One Thing Better Than Wisdom. We will be broadcasting part two of this message in another program. However, if you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church Office. The phone number is 301-577-6342. The phone number again is 301-577-6342. And remember, today you will want to ask for program number 178. The program numbers are very important in helping us to identify which programs and which tapes you need to get. So today, the title, One Thing Better Than Wisdom, Part 1, will be identified by program number 178. I also hope that you will join us again for another program here on The More Abundant Life. Until next time, my name is Adrian Westney. I wish you, as always, God's richest blessings. Remember, though, the words of John 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that life might be the more abundant life.